You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Christmas, me and my family got into a conversation around mental health. I personally am someone who suffers with multiple mental illnesses and have struggled with comorbidity from a very young age, so conversations around this are not uncommon for me. Now, I made a point saying this Christmas that it hasn't been easy. Figuring out how to cope with mental illness has given me a huge array of tools, though, for various situations in my life. Many people may struggle later in life and not have those tools to cope. And particularly amongst COVID-19, it may present new situations for mental health for many people. Some have really enjoyed lockdown, being able to step away from the noise of everyday life, while others have found it anxiety-inducing, and experts say we could see some people develop PTSD from this pandemic. I spoke with co-founder of Colibrate, a mental health first aid organization, Sarah Tuck, to figure out what kind of things we may want to keep in mind while finding support at this time and providing support at this time. She started off by telling me exactly what mental health first aid is.
Mental health first aid is the support given to someone in a moment of distress. As a mental health first aider, you are supporting the person to help figure out what support looks like for them in that moment and then help them access that support in the moment. Also, mental health first aid, you don't necessarily have to be in distress, but if you're seeking support or seeking something, mental health first aiders have a conversational framework to help you understand what support looks like for you.
It's interesting in how you talk about that as someone finding out what support looks like for them. Why is that important?
I think support looks different for everyone, and there's a lot in the media and in social media around what self-care is and what it looks like, and I don't think that we can prescribe what support is for people. I think it's really personal and unique. Some people see going for a run as a form of support. I don't see that as a form of support, but I do see other things as a form of support, and I think the ability to give people permission to explore what that looks like for them really does make people feel in control of helping themselves feel better.
So that's kind of one of the pitfalls we see in the way we talk about mental health as like a one-size-fits-all approach. Do you think there are other kind of pitfalls in the way we discuss mental health?
Yeah, for sure. One-size-fits-all, but there's also like we've seen mental health as a binary. Like there's mental illness. You're either unwell or you're well, and what we know of mental health is that it's not that black and white. There's a huge grey area. Mental health is a whole continuum, and you can be in some moments thriving in your life and in some moments feel distressed, and there's anything in between as well. And you can, on any given day, depending on what your environmental factors are, You can appear anywhere along that continuum. Your mental health can be anywhere along that continuum, and that's okay. Support is possible at any point of how you're feeling along the continuum. Even at thriving, we still need supports to help us keep ourselves there.
COVID-19 presents a lot of challenges for people. Many mental health professionals have said that some people might potentially develop PTSD from this entire situation. What do you think we should do in the public, just in general? What should we be looking out for to support those around us?
When we talk about resilience, we talk about the ability to cope. And what I know about resilience is that it's really difficult to be resilient when you're in isolation or when you are feeling isolated. I believe that for our ability to get through COVID-19 and to cope through it, we have to feel connected to the people around us, and we have to feel connected, and we have to not be isolated and alone in what we are experiencing. Making a choice to connect with one another, choosing to be kind, to each other, even though at the moment it's really hard. I guess a lot of us are feeling cabin fevery, stuck inside. Little frustrations, little domestic things are causing us to feel really, really irritated. It can be really easy to lash out on the people around us. I think we have to choose to be kind to each other. The way forward is connection. Otherwise, it's just going to disconnect us further and make us feel more isolated. Also understanding that we are all in this together. We are all experiencing a pandemic together, but we all have different experiences of this pandemic, and no two experiences are exactly the same. I think saying things like, I know what you're going through, doesn't always help because you can't always know exactly what someone is going through. You may be in a similar environment and situation, but their feelings, their experience of that can be completely different, and it's about choosing to really listen and understand and hear people without putting your perspective or judgment on top of that.
Now, your organization works quite closely with different workplace settings.
Yeah.
Why does this support within the workplace play a crucial role right now?
I believe that employers have a responsibility to support their staff or create the environment within their workplace that staff can thrive and do their work. I mean, ultimately do their work, but we spend a lot of time at work and there's a huge expectation that support is outside of the workplace. But outside of the workplace, we have, where's the time between if a lot of us are working 9 to 5, outside of those hours, a lot of health professionals don't operate. It's not actually possible to have the same access to supports. I think also workplaces are beginning to understand that when people feel supported, they are more productive. When they feel connected, they are more productive and they do good work and they're able to innovate and think beyond their roles and show more initiative. Even as a staff member myself in many workplaces, seeing ways in which the organisation wants to support me do well makes me invest more into that workplace because I feel they care about me, and I think that's really important to feel cared for.
I guess also with this conversation, we are likely going to see a rise in unemployment. Is that something your organisation has in mind going forward with mental health first aid?
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of the privilege of having a workplace at this time. And for us being a social enterprise, we're looking at ways that we can provide training to people who aren't attached to a workplace, getting other workplaces to fund the people who are doing the support work all the time but don't necessarily have a place to do it, or are doing it a lot in their families or in their communities. So we support people who aren't attached to a workplace too, which is cool.
Around, up to
8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
That was Sarah Tuck from Co-Liberate. A reminder to reach out when we are needing that support or if we are feeling the pressures of providing support. 0800 Lifeline if you need it. There's also Youthline, a range of sources. Please reach out if you need to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.